I'm Rod.
I'm Josh.
And I'm David, and we're glad you're listening, especially you new listeners, but we need you to do us a big favor.
We do. We need you to leave us a review in iTunes by searching in iTunes or the podcast app for Grow the Dream Show and leave the review.
Or just go to growthedream.com/review, and we've got a big prize package.
To officially enter, you need to send an email to show@growthedream.com, and then we will do the drawing on June 1st.
You can find out all the details at growthedream.com/review. Thanks.
And so the value there is that you're able to take that and use it basically for publicity for yourself.
All right, it's time for the Grow the Dream Show. Today's episode is all about getting you visibility for your business. Our journalism expert resident is going to share all kinds of great tips about reaching out to reporters and editors, how to contact them, when to contact them, what to say, what not to say. Lots of practical stuff today. All that and more coming up right now on the Grow the Dream Show.
Oftentimes, it's the ones that are successful loved what they did so they could persevere. When it got really tough. And the ones that didn't love it, quit.
I learned many great lessons from my father, not the least of which was that you can fail at what you don't want. So you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the most indispensable show for people doing the hard work of growing your business. It's the marketing podcast by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. Welcome to Grow the Dream.
Welcome to the Grow the Dream Show, episode 14. We're glad you're listening. David Johnson here, along with my usual partners in crime, Rod Thompson.
Glad to be here.
30-year veteran journalist, and now you're working with small businesses and helping them with their messaging and publicity and so forth. And of course, my other good friend, Josh Muccio. Josh, how are you today?
I'm good.
You were waiting to see what I was going to call you, weren't
you? I am.
Yeah, well, we call you the kid, but you're also the host of The Daily Hunt, which is another podcast, which is kind of focused on techies and maybe not just techies.
We also hunt turkeys.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
It's all centered around Product Hunt, which is a site that is frequented by techies, which is why I said that.
Yeah.
But, you know, young entrepreneur, whiz kid, SEO, guru.
I just like a lot of fun stuff online, you know?
Yeah. Hey, today we've got a really great show. I'm excited about this one because it's one we've talked about before. It's a subject we've talked about before.
Alluded to.
Yeah, we had this conversation about whether you should do publicity stunts or not, which I think we should revive that topic for today a little bit.
Oh, yeah. We were just arguing before the show about it.
Yeah, but Rod is going to lend us his expertise because, of course, as a 30-year journalist, you were a newspaper reporter. Worked your way up into editorial positions. You've been published as a columnist. You've got a couple of books to your credit. The last position you held was as executive editor of a very successful business publication. Mm-hmm. So you've got an interesting perspective to bring to not only your clients, but to all of us, because we're all business owners and looking to see what we might be able to do to get some more visibility.
Exactly. I do. I feel like it's a little bit of an unusual, unique, and fun combination that I have, because I've been on both sides of the divide.
Yeah, absolutely.
Basically, I've been the receiver of a lot of media and press release type information, so I kind of know what works and what doesn't work. And now I've been the provider of it for several years, and from that side, I can see also what is working and not working.
So I love this because obviously with our show, we are focused on helping you as a business owner or maybe a member of a small business team to really get the most out of your marketing efforts and your budget. And so today's going to be a great show because we'll be talking about things you can do yourself or things that you might hire a professional for. And all of them can have a big, big impact on your sales. But before we get into the actual meat of today's topic.
First things first.
Cheers.
Cheers. Yes, it's Coffee Cult. This is the brew that we talked about a month ago that I forgot to bring in.
Brew of the day.
So this is today's brew of the day, and it's a dark roast that you found, and you did this on another episode, so we won't repeat it, but the whole how to find products on Amazon was fun. So this was an Amazon find, and I'll tell you, it's good. I like it.
Oh, yeah. We had it within 2 days after it was roasted.
Yeah, I love it when you get something fast. And of course, Rod, just for you, man, this is dark.
It is dark, and actually, since I made this particular pot, it's a smidgen darker, maybe, than the previous one.
This is actually delicious.
I noticed you snuck out of the room and prepared it yourself.
I did.
Thank you.
Okay, so what did you do? Grind it finer, or did you just leave it in the pot longer? Or?
Both.
All three. I actually threw in a few more beans, ground them a little finer.
So you ignored the three scoop?
Absolutely. So I blew off all of the regulations
for
great. It.
How does this rate on your...
It's good. It's a good cup of coffee.
Yeah, you don't have a more specific scale than
7.8 out of 10.
Okay,
so in the newsroom,
that's not very good. That's not very good.
I leave a lot of top level there. I like to leave room for improvement for coffee.
If there's something, when you get a 9 or a 10 on the rod scale, it's really exceptional. Then,
well, I'm pretty much I've died and gone to heaven if it gets over 9 for coffee, which I'm pretty sure that's what coffee is in heaven. It's a 10.
Oh
yeah.
So now when
I had a friend who said, a good friend still is, who says, we were sitting there drinking coffee one morning, and he said, I'm just waiting when we get to heaven to finally have the perfect cup of coffee.
Wow.
Why doesn't he try to have the perfect cup here on earth?
Because that's what I'm saying. It's a fallen world. It's fallen coffee.
No,
but one day we'll all be reborn.
Yeah, but that's the whole idea. Is we're supposed to make earth more like heaven along the way. Am I right? So anyway,
I'm
with you. Yes, absolutely.
Thank you, Amazon, for your doing your part.
Yeah, yes. and
it's
for
a good coffee cult.
Coffee cult who roasted
with
this.
With a K. Coffee. Wait, yep. Both of
it
them
was
with
yeah.
K's.
Coffee with a K and cult with a K.
It's good coffee
in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, I think. So, is it true, Rod, that in the newsrooms you got your taste for dark coffee? Isn't it true, they left the coffee in the thing? You know, the old...
Is it true that you only have 10% of your taste buds left?
Because the reason I ask is because when I was in radio, that was the way it was. We had what we called overnight blend, where it was the old drip makers.
Overnight blend.
Yeah, the bun good. Coffee
now
makers.
Now they call that cold brew, and it's actually good.
No. This is not what you think.
Oh, no.
We would, whatever, who had roasted, not roasted, but brewed coffee last, we left the grounds in the thing, and we just added stuff on top.
Right.
Fresh grinds. And then we ran the bun, O-matic thing.
Right.
And then it sat for several hours. And boy, drink that at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
You,
really?
You could put your spoon in, it would stand up. Not really, but it was strong. It was strong.
Yeah, it was in the 80s. There wasn't really a lot of discerning taste on coffee then. We hadn't gotten nearly the sort of elitist coffee view that we have now, which actually I kind of like.
Yeah.
But it was about volume and quality of caffeine.
Yeah.
I understand.
That seemed to be it.
Yeah, Folgers?
Oh, whatever. I mean, Folgers, maybe Maxwell House at the top end. I don't know.
So if you're a business owner and you're trying to buddy up to a reporter or an editor, is coffee a good gift?
What I've always told people, if you want somebody to come to your press, if you want some media people to come to your press conference, you have to feed them. Put out food.
Okay, so
they'll come for free food.
Sending gifts to the office is a bad idea.
Yes.
Okay, and tell us why.
Just make sure. Well, for one thing, because reporters in the general code of ethics is that it would look like a bribe. So they can't actually take the gift, whether it's foods or whatever.
I can't actually drink this coffee.
It looks beautiful, but now...
A cup of coffee, sure. But if you have a basket of goodies, from an upscale place, and it's $30 or whatever, that sort of thing, then you really... What always happens is you put it out in a central place, and the whole newsroom gets to share it and all, and then there isn't expected to be a quid pro quo for the press release that you're trying to get attention for.
Because that's viewed as distasteful to journalists, right?
Yes. And further, it's actually damaging, right, because of that, because the general feels that, it must be pretty worthless if you're trying to get our attention with this stock.
Hey, do we need to convince our audience that they even need to get press?
Yeah, so let's talk about why publicity is such a good idea to begin with. That's a good place to start.
Yeah. Well, I think, and it's a perfect place to start, because there's really two types of media. There's the earned media, which includes, anything from full-fledged stories about your company to briefs to short notices to changes about company staff, products, services, calendar events. All these things are called earned media, which is very good. Paid media is what we know of as advertising, and that's advertising whether it's on magazines or newspapers or television or radio or Facebook or Twitter. That's paid media as opposed to earned media. Now, earned media has the value of having that third party imprimatur of, of confidence in what it is. So if somebody sees a display ad in a newspaper, they can see that's an ad, that's paid for, you bought that. If there's a story about your company doing well, about a great product, that sort of thing, from a reporter in that publication, then that has that sort of third-party stamp of approval that lends a lot more credibility to your product, to your service, to your company than the ad itself
does. And that's what we want to focus on today.
Yes, we want to focus on what's called earned media, and you get that through publicity, press releases and all, and that's one of the things that we help with.
I am not an expert in this area at all. I've failed. I released a press release for my first company, iHeart Repair, that said, we did iPad repairs now, and I released it to PR Web. And it went nowhere.
And I can tell you why.
I hired a writer, too. I mean, I wasn't, you know.
Yeah, let's talk about this, because these companies market the daylights out of these press release services. And they're, you know, just like the SEO companies do, right? They visit your website. They fill out your forms. Hey, we can get your media attention for, you know, 900 million reporters are on our list. And you know what I mean? Like, it seems like, wow, how could I go wrong, you know? But why is it, Rod, that those are just a bad idea?
Well, they're a bad idea if you actually want publicity. You know, I mean, there was a time when it maybe helped with SEO and all. And
that's true. It did, right? By the way.
And it's much less so now, I think. But if you're actually looking for that earned media where reporters, and when I'm talking about reporters and publications now, I'm obviously not just talking print. I'm talking about all the online equivalents of it.
Of course, right. Yeah, there's so many.
And there are. And even podcasters and bloggers and that sort of thing, all of that. So the value in the earned media is that, you know, you have that like I said, that third party sort of stamp of approval.
Well, and Google cares about earned media, and they want to downplay paid media.
Right.
That's why they told PR Web, you need to make all of your links no follow now, because they're paid.
Right. And so from a journalist's point of view, when you get stuff from PR Web, it's like spam, basically. It's the equivalent of spam. As far as I know, practically nobody even opens those. I never did as an editor or reporter when the PR Webs came, and you can see where it's coming from. It was just delete, delete, delete. Because I was always getting something about some new something opening up in California or in Detroit or in whatever, and it's like
just irrelevant.
It's absolutely irrelevant. So basically, you became trained to ignore all of them.
So I was offering a new service in this case. You know, iHeart Repair is now offering iPad repairs. I think it was ship-in iPad repairs at the time. So was that a story that could have been covered?
That would have been a natural local story for you. There's a couple different angles in which you can pursue that. The local angle, because you were a local company. So you have local publications, whether they're the business section of the daily newspaper or it's the some local business publications, which, you know, most community of any size will have both of those types of things. And what they like to be able to highlight what local companies are doing. So you had what we call a news peg there. You were adding a new service to your business. When you have a new service like that, you have a news peg.
What's the peg terminology mean? Is that like, what does it mean?
Right, right. So it's something on which, in other words, if you're just, hey, we have a great business, you should use us, there's no news there. You just do that is.
You're just being
self-promotional. Buy an ad for that.
Now, what if you just launched?
And now that's a news peg because that's new. So a news peg is anything new or different that's happening with your business. And that, like I say, that can be anything from services and products to new personnel, staff, to expansion into new territories, all sorts of things that count as a news peg.
What if you're like a pet-friendly small business?
Well, if you've always been a pet-friendly small business, you don't have anything there. If you haven't been and you have launched a new sort of a new effort at being pet-friendly, then you have a news peg.
So you're looking for things that when you're going to reach out to a journalist, then you should think about things that might be pegs, news pegs. How is a peg related to a hook?
No, same thing.
Okay, all right. So when you're saying peg, you mean the same thing as a hook. So the hook is a familiar terminology to me. Of course, coming from radio, we talked about songs like, hey, that song's got a hook. Like it was sticky. It was interesting. It was something different about it or unique or whatever. So I know it's not the same usage of the word, but...
It doesn't translate really over like that. But in the news industry... peg and hook would be basically the same thing. And again, it's that thing, it's the purpose for which a reporter might find this newsworthy. So it has to be something newsworthy. There has to be something new in it.
New in news. Okay, yeah. I get it. So what if who do I email? Or who do I talk to? Do I email? Do I use Twitter? The editor? Do I talk to the individual writers?
Well, if you're doing it yourself, what you need to do is research the publication. If you're a business editor at a business publication and somebody was sending you press releases about recipes, Right, exactly. And that's the problem. And you get that sort of thing all the time to where then they just get tuned out. So what you're saying is
use your head.
Use your head, research a publication. All right, so I want to send it to the local paper and local business publications. Then you need to actually read those. See what they're publishing, see what they're looking for specifically in their areas. And it's going to be, you know, in the general sense along the lines I've talked about. Then you need to look at the staff and see who's writing them. If you're looking at the stories and all, you can see bylines and you'll see whatever the name of the byline
and most
is.
Newspapers,
that's a reporter.
Most newspapers and even like television stations and so forth, when they publish these stories online, the reporter's email address is right there.
It's usually if you just click on the email, the reporter's name, either goes to their profile, which has their email, or it actually opens up an email right to them, which is kind of fun too.
Yeah.
But you need that. And then, so what you need to do is you need to address it to the right people, and you need to explain in the email. I always do a press release in a Word doc because everybody can use Word. They open it up. But then that's an attachment. In the email itself, I always do a short line or two on what the peg is. You got to persuade them to open that Word doc
so
they get
a ton
of mail, and that's an important element.
Yeah, and this is a big debate because like you can go to 10 different how to get PR websites out there, and you'll get 10 different opinions on whether you should use attachments or not.
Right.
Like, because should it be there? No. If you send one, it should be a PDF. Oh, it should only be text. Oh, you shouldn't send images. I mean, there's all sorts of like rules out there, but as a journalist, as an editor, I mean, what is the right way to do this?
Word doc or PDF is fine.
Okay.
Anything where you're getting sort of fancy about it is going to make you look a little pathetic, and so that's going to be a turnoff to the reporter.
So you shouldn't try to design it a certain way. It should just be all about the text.
Get to the point.
Oh, okay.
Because, look, they get a ton of emails. They get pitches all the time because people are always looking for publicity. You've got to, number one, you've got to separate yourself from the bunch, but you can't do that with tricks or publicity stunts. You've got to separate yourself with really the content. What's the point here? So you, even in the tagline up there, the subject line, something sharp, and something that will catch their eye a little bit, you know, expanding into we're now pet friendly.
So we're not going to use the words press release in our subject line of the email.
I wouldn't. Or if you do, it's got to be with the catch there, press release on it. But I wouldn't. I would just say like the headline of a story.
Right.
And the way I craft them, and because, you know, I have a lot of experience with stories and headlines, is often the press release itself looks like a headline in a story. And then the email that's pitching it has that sort of lead is the sentence right there.
So you're trying to help them visualize what their own headline might look
like. Make it as easy and reporter editor friendly as possible.
Okay, well that's cool. Explain the lead, because I think this is we confuse it. Non-journalists don't realize that you're spelling a word LEDE.
Oh yeah. Isn't
like,
that amazing?
It's a different word than, you know, what we think of. Like, I always thought it was, oh, you're leading with something. Like, this
This is a goofy thing in journalism because it drives you crazy because then you can't spell the word right when you need to. but yes, because in, you know, the lead of a newspaper story is spelled LEDE. And honestly, I don't even know if that's an official thing or if that's just a cultural thing, but everybody does it.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody in journalism does it. That's the lead. What's the lead? What's the LEDE? But the lead is critical because that's generally the first paragraph. The first few sentences, that's the hook. That's the reason for it. Don't bury the lead. That's a favorite in journalism.
Right.
Don't bury the lead. You need it right up top. You need to let that editor reporter know why you need to open this, why you need to read it, and why you should do something on it in your publication.
Okay, so, and that's what you had to do as a journalist, right? You had to make sure the lead was front and center. And there's like this pyramid concept, right?
Inverted pyramid.
Inverted, exactly. So right. you put the most important thing up front, which as a writer that was not trained as a journalist, this is totally backwards.
Right.
Like I'm trying to build, and then there's a big denouement, you know,
right,
where like, okay, here's the big point.
Okay,
you know?
I don't know what that phrase was, but yes.
Oh. It's not journalistic. It's it's French.
It was French, and that's why I refused it. No. And that's why I don't know what it was.
It's the climax of a story,
right,
the denouement.
And so particularly...
Well, actually, it's more like the resolution. But anyway...
When you're writing a novel, that's what you do. If you're writing a feature story, you can get away with that to a degree. But for news stories, you do not want to do that. Whenever reporters try to do that, it just usually falls flat.
And it does that because of the old-fashioned reader he's looking at a big piece of newsprint, he's reading a newspaper, the reader is, or she, and they get to that, and they're like, if I don't understand what this story is about or why I should read it right away, I'm just going to skip it.
But I would contend that still is true, even on a screen, because you have so many options for spending your time and on what you should be reading, what you want to be reading, you better capture that reader pretty quick. If you look at Medium, Medium.com, they capture a reader quickly. They do have an image at top, but they have a headline. They have that little lead thing. And the ones that get, I think, good reads are the ones that capture you right away. You want to read that thing. You don't want to have to wade into it to find out if it's worthwhile after you've committed 5 minutes to it.
Mm. Okay. This is good, but if I'm a business owner, like, do we still need to establish why we're getting press? Why are we? I mean, systematically, let's say I'm just going about being my business owner self, doing my business owner things, making a little bit of money month after month. So I'm looking for something unique in my business, and I need to be reaching out to reporters on a regular basis. I mean, do I need to hire a writer or somebody to do this PR push for me? What's the strategy behind this?
I would say ideally, if you can afford it, yeah, you want a pro doing it. But you can do it yourself too if you follow some of the points that we're pointing out here. But the purpose is basically it's free publicity.
It's visibility. I mean, if you've got a news story from a television, like they bring out the cameras and they come to your business.
Absolutely.
Or you get a photograph of your business or your people or whatever.
You get customers and clients out of it.
Yeah, people say, oh, I didn't know that business was there.
And now if you get it, now if you can do it so you're giving it semi-regularly throughout the year, and you're savvy enough to which you know all of the different news hooks and news pegs that you can use in which to get this publicity throughout the year, then you build name recognition. It can be completely a part of your branding.
Right. Especially in a local market, right?
Right.
So here's a great story about, this is actually a stunt that was pulled by Taco Bell, but let's talk about how whether it has an impact on your sales or not, right?
Do tell.
This happened, I think it was in like the mid-90s. It was during the Clinton administration. And they ran a full-page ad, I think it was, and basically said, we bought the Liberty Bell. And they said it will now be known as the Taco Liberty Bell. And it had a headline on it, so it looked a little bit like a story, although I think it was clearly an ad, but it looked a little bit like a story, and the headline said, Taco Bell buys the Liberty Bell. And basically they said, hey, we're going to still leave it open to the public. We realize it's controversial, but we feel like this is our we're doing our part to reduce the national debt, and we think other businesses should do this kind of stuff. Well, I guess by midday, thousands and thousands of people had called the National Park Service, whatever the park is that you go to that park to see the Liberty Bell.
Save the bell.
And they were complaining, thousands and thousands of complaints. But by the middle of the day, Taco Bell admitted that it was just an April Fool's prank. I mean, it was April 1st when they ran the ad. But by then, hundreds of media outlets, like something like 650 print outlets. This is 1996, so this is the web existed, but we weren't reading our news on the web. So this is all print publications, right? 400 broadcast outlets, radio and TV, talked about this. According to the marketing department of Taco Bell, they hit 70 million Americans with this story. And you might think, okay, well, that's cool, but it's just a prank, and they just got mentioned a bunch of times. Well, according to Taco Bell, their revenue went up by $500,000 that day and $600,000 the next day. So just in 2 days, that's a $1.1 million bump in revenue from – and I don't know what the cost of an ad in the New York Times – was it the New York Times? I think it was cost wow. back then. But
The point being on that, though, was that an ad in the New York Times is an ad in the New York Times. It doesn't go to 650 outlets like a news story does.
And another 400 broadcast outlets, right? So they paid for one ad, but they got all this huge publicity about it.
Right.
That's a PR stunt and a viral
story,
yeah.
Sure.
Kind of an old school viral story, yes.
Yeah.
And publicity stunts, as you guys know, we've talked about before, I think are generally a bad idea. I find some that have worked, but
this is a rare exception, right?
For every one you find that worked, you find about 100 that have crashed and been very damaging.
Yeah.
So they're not just a roll of the dice. They're a roll of the dice in which, you're going to like your odds in Vegas a lot better. one of my likes was just recently, there's a couple here, but one of them just recently was where the Roundup CEO said that you can drink Roundup because it's all natural and
everything. This is a weed-killing product.
Weed-killing product, yeah. Because it's all naturally done. And so they'd been using that as a bit of a stunt for publicity to show how safe their product is and all. And
you
so,
can drink it.
Of course, he's on a program. He goes on a program. I think it was Charlie Rose, actually, now that I think of it. It was on the NPR program. And what did they do? They bring out a glass of Roundup and asked him to drink it. And
they were ready for him.
And he declined.
Yeah, I'm not thirsty right now.
And that, of course, went viral. Now, with social media, of course, PR stunts, good and bad, are magnified all the more. And then there was the, not that long ago, LifeLock CEO.
Oh, that was classic. He used to put his social security numbers in the radio ads and stuff.
Exactly. So he gives out, and then he challenges people to steal it. And it turns out they did. And they did a lot.
Yeah.
So that didn't work out.
And they
well.
Ended up getting sued over that because the company was basically, I don't know whether they were successfully sued, but nevertheless, they were sued for fraud because they were claiming that, look, even if people get your social security number, if you have our product, you know, it doesn't.
So while publicity stunts can be fun and funny and entertaining, highly not recommended for a company that actually wants to just build its firm.
Okay, but if you got a bunch of mentions, or even just a few mentions in your local market, let's talk about a local business. Let's assume our businesses are local that are listening, right? Like in Tampa Bay here, we have a big, big NBC station, Channel 8 News. If you got your business covered on Channel 8's 11 o'clock news, you would see a big, big impact on your business, most likely, as long as it was positive. You don't want to be on that, hey, we found roaches in the kitchen of the restaurant, you know, segment.
Right. Not all news is good news.
That's yeah, right. That, that's or the rat droppings or whatever. Yeah, you don't right. want that. But like a positive story of some kind. But so you mentioned finding things that are new, like new hires, new services, new stuff about your business. But like, I'm a business owner, and today I don't really have anything new going on. Is there a way for me to still get some publicity, perhaps?
Probably not if you don't have anything going on. And now this is where I will say that it always requires somebody, for me, it requires sitting down and talking to the business owner. Sometimes a business owner actually does have interesting things going on.
They just don't realize it.
They don't realize it. I mean, I've had that a number of times where talking
like
to
our friend.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, and Josh and I have a
yeah, tell a story.
Something what? Like 40% year-over-year growth.
So, yeah.
On an Whoa. Established industry.
Yes.
And an established business?
Yes. He's been around for several years.
Dude, that's huge.
Of course it is. And I said, see, you can leverage that right there into a number of stories. I guarantee you, not only will there be stories that... But
and
that's
he's going into a new market.
And that's something where, which is a separate news thing. See, you'd want to do... I
yeah,
would recommend you
up.
Do those differently because you can get two different pieces of publicity out of those. One's bigger than the other, but you don't want to wrap them both together in one.
Yeah, that's a good point. Spread
right.
it out.
Yeah.
Like butter.
Yeah, why not? If you've got
right.
two different... pegs or
yes,
hooks, then
absolutely.
use them sparingly.
Use them separately.
Now, his feeling as a business owner, and I can relate to this, is that he doesn't really have anything newsworthy. I don't know if he's kind of concerned about putting his finances out there for other people to see. I don't know if that's that classic, I don't want people to know how much money I'm making feeling.
Well, that you know, you do often run across that with business owners. I think that when I was talking to him, you know, just the basic... that his revenues are up 40% doesn't really give away very much at all, except that, my gosh, he is doing well.
But your profits could be in the toilet, so it doesn't yes. actually guarantee that you're making money.
No.
It just
and
means that
also
you've got a lot of sales.
Hiring people. I mean, he was hiring a number of people, too. So, I mean, it shows his company is growing, and it's growing pretty rapidly. So what that suggests and why that's, I think, valuable to him news-wise is that it shows that there's a lot of people that are putting credibility in what he's doing, that are trusting him in that industry to
now,
do that.
Now, that's interesting because that's a reporter talking or an editor talking. Like, right. I wouldn't think of it that way, but what you just said was really important. If people are buying your product at an increasing rate, then that's credibility for you as a business.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Interesting.
Absolutely.
I like that.
Right. Yeah, it is. And so the value there is that you're able to take that and use it basically for publicity for yourself.
Okay, here's the other thing, and this is a trend that's growing, and I know it's going to start hitting local businesses because it's gotta. That's where things are moving. So let's say you don't have anything new or interesting going on in your business. The challenge is to go maybe make something new or interesting in your business. And it could be something small, it could be something funny, or become a almost spokesperson for your industry, become an expert for your industry, and kind of speak almost maybe not in the local publications, but in some of these national, maybe industry publications. Talk about what you've done to grow your business. Talk about the tactics that you're using.
Actually,
does
I think
that work?
You just hit on something kind of fascinating, right? Like take a stand or a position on something that's in the news right now, like take a vocal position on something and, you know, like, hey, because I'm an expert in this, because I'm an engineer, scientist, doctor, whatever, here's what I think, you know, and then pitch that as a story, right?
It's something that I've talked to a number of clients about doing that with, and have done it with one, and that is to sort of make them a thought leader in their industry.
Mm. Yeah, like I have a friend who's a doctor, and she's an infectious diseases doctor, and when Ebola hit, she started mouthing off about it. I mean, in a good way, and I'm not trying to minimize what she did, but the local television station picked her up and brought her in. Hey, come on, let's right. come talk about this on air.
How'd she mouth, like Twitter? What was her strategy?
I think she just called him. She just said, hey, here's what I think. But she may have done something as an email as well. She did not do a formal press release, though. I mean, I don't think that was part of the picture at all.
Point being on that, though, it doesn't actually take an outbreak of a virus for that to be effective. You know, you can do it in any industry because in part, and this is where with one of them that I've done it with, that they're in an industry that has three or four publications, and I was stunned to find there was that many. There is that we are
like trade publications.
Yep, so divided and split up and spliced
and niche.
What industry is this?
This is in shipping. But not just truck shipping, but
global water shipping, like
no,
freight?
No, it includes all of them, but it's not the big ones. It's like an in-between thing where if you're shipping and you need to ship an engine across the country. So you can't FedEx
like
it, you can't
carriers.
UPS it, but you know you don't need a whole transportation system. That
and
sort
there's
of thing.
Three or so four publications about
there's,
this.
There's publications about that sort of thing in there that cover that industry. They might cover other portions of it, but they cover that. There's several companies that do that, and my particular client actually has software because they do a lot of it online, in which they aggregate with a whole bunch of transportation companies to do that. And so he wants to be a thought leader in that industry so that. Two ways. Number one, he can be writing columns, and I can help him with those columns in the for publications. But then you also always have him responding to any news, Congress changing any laws, put out a quote and send it to all of those industry publications.
As a
press release.
As a release.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so just a simple quote.
So you're establishing him as an expert in this field. And what will happen over time is reporters will start actually going to him then to get comments.
Interesting.
On things.
So this is along the lines of Harrow.
Help a reporter out.
Oh, help a reporter out.
Yeah. That's fun. But that's like where the reporters actually will put in a request and say, I'm writing a story on such and such and I need a whatever. And then that's a daily email. Is it twice a day still?
I don't know. I'm not in it anymore.
I quit. I canceled my subscription because it was so many freaking emails. It was a lot. But that's kind of a fascinating way because you're actually making yourself relevant. This comes back to our conversations about relevance.
Right.
You're just making yourself relevant. Now, is this not another good reason for a business owner to be blogging, right? Like you could be putting out not only as emails, but you could put this on your blog.
Well, any sort of a press release, I would think, would work as a blog too, depending on what your blogging strategy is. And I think you need a fuller blogging strategy to know whether this
right. This
or
shouldn't
that,
be the only thing that you do, right?
Yeah. No, or whether every press release is appropriate for a blog too.
Right. Okay. But there could be some overlap.
I think what we're talking about here are very interesting stories that deserve to be covered on. Something that has a little bit broader reach.
So instead of, because this is all based on your question, Josh, right? I don't have something new to offer, but I can maybe comment on something that is newsworthy.
But that's a news hook. So Congress is passing a law that's going to affect, you know, transportation, trucking or whatever, or they're discussing law or whatever. So there is a news angle right there. Your comment as somebody within that industry then is a bit of a hook. Now, you submit that to those publications. You could also submit that to the industry publications, the trade publications. You could also, though, submit that to local ones, too, because it doesn't hurt in that respect because you're already building your brand as a thought leader within the industry.
So all of these publications are looking for good content.
Yes.
And they're looking for these thought leaders.
Yes.
Why not be that?
Yes.
So that's our challenge to our listeners is to do something bold. Reach out to somebody you haven't in your industry. And say something. Don't say something stupid. Say something good.
Yeah.
But say something.
And it takes a little bit of time. You know, you don't become one overnight. You need to sort of commit to doing this over some time.
So you need like a steady drip of these out there.
Absolutely. And if you want to be a writer, because a lot of them will look for, you know, guest columnists that can fill in good column spaces for them. And they might want to have a dozen of them or something, but people they can rely on. You need to be able to write too.
How valuable is it for some of these industry publications, saying that some of them are online, how valuable is it to go respond to their posts or you know, tweet out their stuff on Twitter or comment it on Facebook in a way that is engaging with them, so that then when you have your story, there's already that relationship there.
Well, that's a good question. I hadn't really thought about that a lot. I don't see that so much in the realm of the publicity as in the relationship building.
So I have a follow-up thought for that. What about if you recommend stories to journalists that don't involve you, right? So in other words, like I just send you an email saying, hey, look, I know somebody, he's got this business and they just launched a new thing and it's doing really well and he's not sending a press release out. So I thought, this seems right up your alley based on the story you wrote last week about such and such.
I've heard that doesn't work well.
The problem with that is that a reporter is going to assume that there's some sort of arrangement that's gone on.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm.
So if but you what, were like, gonna,
if you did it every week,
that,
like if you did it every week and you sent the reporter an
well,
idea,
then you're like acting as a PR person yourself then.
Well, right. But I mean, at some point, does the reporter go, okay, hey, this person is trying to help me?
If I were a reporter, I would just be suspicious.
Okay.
Why is this guy spending all this time feeding me stories? What does he want?
And these days, interesting. Business owners in your industry, there's somebody out there that is reaching out to these reporters. And as themselves, they aren't hiding behind a PR person. Isn't there some advantage to actually writing these things yourself as the business owner?
You can. You absolutely can. Now,
but you have to be good at it, right? For this,
you do have to be good at it. You have to know what you're doing and how to do it. Now, the other thing I'll say is that I do press releases that are on our letterhead, and I'm the contact and all. But I have clients where I do press releases, and I'm completely invisible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's on their letterhead. They have a contact person for it and all. I distribute it, you know, to the list, and that's it. I'm just like a distribution thing as far as the media people know. The whole list is everything is the whole press release is them. Even though I might have done it all, it's okay. All them. I'm invisible to it. And that's not a bad way if you want to do it that way.
That makes sense to me. And I think that's where all this is going, is people taking ownership of their own stuff, not hiding behind. I mean, people want to know the owner behind the business.
Sure.
People
people. If it's a story related to that business. So Rod, how do you get your list? You talked about distributing this.
This is probably the biggest challenge that somebody has for doing it themselves, because I'm constantly curating my list, keeping it up to date. Matter of fact, just yesterday there was a change from a business reporter, had been a business editor at the Herald Tribune for a long time, the local newspaper, and he went over to the Business Observer. And I just found out about that because his email was kicked back to me and da da da. So the point is that those lists are always changing. The people on them are always changing. And if you're doing it yourself, you have to spend real time to make sure you're sending it to the right people in the right positions that are still there, or the new people that are there. I'm always working on my list to keep it up to date.
So if I find like 30 email addresses on the local newspaper website, I shouldn't send the same thing to all 30.
Oh, heavens no. Oh, my gosh.
You'll but I'm be trying to just make sure I get the right person.
You will be blacklisted.
Okay. All right.
Well, you don't want to be blacklisted.
No, you
what if
do
I
not.
Just send it to two or three, but they happen to work in the same department?
That's probably okay. In other words, if you're just sending it to the business desk, and especially if you will address it to, you know, business desk, something like this, or you can address it to the two or three names that you have on there in the email. Remember, I was talking about the email.
Should you CC them then, so that it's clear that they're all getting it?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, make it perfectly clear is what I'm saying in there that you're sending it to all three. Because otherwise you'll have the business editor might get, if say it's, all right, it's good and newsworthy, he gets it, he sends it down to the reporter, the reporter's already got it, or the reporter bounces it back to him and say, right, we're covered there and everything. It'd be just good to do that. But now if you're getting it from the publisher and the city editor and the executive editor and the managing editor and they're all sending it, they're probably going, come on, what the heck?
Okay.
And you're going to build up a little poor relationship there at the start. So
you don't want to create friction unnecessarily.
You don't want to at all. So that's why I say you need to spend the time to research the publication to know who to send it to at that publication.
Okay,
it will really behoove you.
So what happens after I hit send?
Okay, good. So after you hit send, the one thing you don't want to do is immediately start making phone calls. Did you get it? I want to make sure you got it. Golly, that will drive reporters and editors crazy. I mean, these are busy people. And now more than ever at the mainstream publications and their online components, they're more busy than ever because they keep having their staff cut back. So these guys are really slammed.
Now, you should call. You should just not do it immediately.
So
is that what you're saying?
The point is, though, is give it 24 hours.
Okay,
and
24 hours.
See who responds and all. Now, this is going to depend on the timeliness of it.
Okay, right. Like something's happening later today. That's big news.
Yeah, you should have put out your press release earlier. Yeah, you're in a you're in a real problem right there. Then
how, man, you just stepped all over my toes, man.
How early?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it depends completely on the event and what's going on, and what you want there. If you want a reporter to come out to something, you're going to have to persuade them that it's worth their time to do that. If you just want them to publish something about something that's coming up, then it just needs to be in time for them to get it.
Okay.
And get it into their calendar or a briefs section or whatever it might be.
So let's assume that it's something that is happening.
But if you have, I'm sorry, if I could just interrupt there, though. If you have
No, please do. Anyway. So yeah. It's all good.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to interrupt right here.
Yeah, right.
But so if you have a new service that you've launched, well, that doesn't have to be 24 hours. You know, that you don't have to immediately get that coverage.
Right, it's
you just
want
new coverage, right?
Right.
But you do want to make sure. So you send it to them. You can do a follow-up email first. Then you can do a phone call. Are so much more intrusive. An awful lot of people would prefer to respond to the email.
Okay, so a follow-up email.
Where does Twitter fit in all this? I know it fits in. It has to.
Well, if you cannot find the reporter's email and whatnot, then you can tweet it to them.
I know, but wouldn't a reporter rather like hear it on Twitter? Hey, a quick like 140 character.
No,
because they want to be able to investigate quickly the details,
and
right?
They want it first. If they get it quickly, okay. So I sent out a press release for a client of a client yesterday, and it went out. I sent out at 10 o'clock yesterday to the business desk, local publication.
A.M.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, and the editor responded back. He had one question, answered the question. I was at an event a half an hour later, and he had already tweeted it out. They have, you know, they hadn't even gotten it yet. He tweeted it out before they actually got the thing put in the.
The editor did.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
So you want to give them the opportunity to own the tweet?
Oh, because they want to scoop.
I was talking about a DM.
Well, that's what I said the first time. You can do that.
If you can direct message them on Twitter.
Yeah, you can. But I don't.
But they have to be following you for that to work. Well, actually, Twitter just changed the rules on that. So that's
right. I think the email is still probably the better route.
Okay. So, all right. What if I have something newsworthy and there are two competing publications in town, and I send it to both of them at the same time?
Okay. So if you don't have a relationship with anybody, if you've built a relationship with a reporter or editor, one or the other, obviously go to that one first, because you want to maintain that relationship.
Okay.
If one is substantially larger than the other, I would go with that one first, give them first rights of refusal, so to speak, without saying that. Or you could let them know, hey, I'm just sending this to you right now because I would like, you know, because you're wonderful. However you want to say that. Because
so there's a little butt kissing going on there, Rod? Is that what? Like,
completely. Yes.
Oh, okay. And, so payola is bad, lavishly. But butt kissing is good.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Things you learned. I would not have expected this one.
A little flattery can go a long way.
See, I figured you're trying to keep it like uber professional and like.
So I have a client that's consistently trying to get stuff in the Miami market down there.
Okay.
And the Miami Herald is the big dog.
Sure.
But there's a lot of others down there, publications. Miami
oh,
Today,
lots of them.
There's a zillion publications, but he wants the Miami Herald first. So I always pitch it to them, depending on who it is at the Miami Herald. I pitch it to them. Hey. My client really would like this in the Herald because he knows how important and influential the Herald is in the Miami community, and he thinks that you're the best vehicle for this. And so this
okay,
is
so that's
how,
mild butt kissing. It's
yes.
like okay,
but yeah. It's true.
It's also true,
right?
It helps.
And they know it's true.
They know it's true.
And of course, you want it in the Herald, otherwise.
But you're acknowledging that.
Acknowledging it, and it's also letting them know that. They have first rights of refusal without actually saying such contractual language.
Yeah,
know?
So like we'll take this elsewhere if you guys don't want it.
Yes, but you don't say that.
Right, okay.
You would never say that.
Okay, but that's kind of implied.
That's
more
implied.
Or less. Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. What would it be like from a reporter or editor's perspective if they went live on a Friday with a story and they opened up the competitor's newspaper and found the same story on page one? Like they both ran with it. Maybe page one is aggressive. Page one of the business section.
So you're saying that they ran on the same day?
Yeah.
Well, it's a tie then. I mean, if it's a daily important story, then that's just the way it is. If you're putting it out there, look, if you've got a real newsworthy event and you know it's going to get coverage and you don't have a specific relationship, just send it to them.
Okay.
Send it to all of them.
But what if you're really trying to manufacture newsworthiness here? You're trying to say, this is a stretch, but I'm going to go for it.
Well, then it depends on how you've pitched it to them.
They want to have the first story. They want to have exclusivity.
They absolutely do. They want to be first in.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I what I like about this is, you know, like, we're just not used to thinking like a reporter or an editor.
Not at all.
So it's like a different perspective to hear it from you about how this works. With like a minute or so that we have left, what would you say to somebody who they don't understand why they might be newsworthy or interesting? They think, well, you know, I'm me. I'm just good old plain old me. What does a process look like for you to help a person discover what's interesting about them?
Well, it always comes down to the conversation, which is very hard to sort of quantify how you do that. You have a conversation, and in that conversation, it's basically I use my years of repertorial skills in interviewing people. I will sit down and interview them and ask them about their life, their interests. I mean, look, if somebody's just running a basic, fairly mundane local business, but they have this passion for helping people get clean drinking water in Guatemala, and they spend a month a year down there. They use part of their business profits for that. They divert things. That's
cool.
Is a great news peg. They might not think that's anything. Hey, I'm just doing what I should be doing, and they're just thinking their company.
And in fact, they might even not talk about it at all. Because
right,
it's like,
but
it's
in a conversation with me, I could probably get it out of them. I could probably find out about it, and then I can say, look, that's a great peg for a story about you, and a story about you will become a story about your business also.
So if you are wondering if your story, if your idea for what you're doing in your business would be newsworthy, hit us up at growthedream.com/show.
It's hard to say.
Show.
Yeah, because
and then another slash 014.
Yeah, this is episode 14. Also, you can tweet to GTD show, and we'll follow up with you. We want to find out, because I think it would be fun on a follow up episode maybe to answer some of those. Like,
absolutely.
Here's Bob from Paducah, and he wants to know if his whatever, or Sally from Seattle.
Maybe we can help somebody get press on air.
That would be fun.
Yeah,
tell
their
story.
I would be thrilled to be able to do that.
Rod, thanks for sharing your expertise today.
Absolutely. It was
fun.
This
has been a lot of fun. Hey, did you learn some stuff, Josh?
Yeah, I was just sitting here going, well, didn't know that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, just interesting stuff. So I appreciate this. If you use something you learned from our show today and you get some visibility, we want to hear about that too. And so we do invite you to make sure that you're subscribed to our show. There is a giveaway going on, depending on when you hear this episode. During the month of May 2015, we have a giveaway going on if you leave us a review. And so we especially need them on iTunes. But if you leave us a review anywhere, send us an email.
show@growthedream.com.
Yep, and that just lets us know about your review, because otherwise we may not know about it. We're going to take all those entries, put them in a hat, and we're going to draw.
Give away Jay's book.
Jay Bear Utility,
and
great
then
book.
A mystery book.
We do have a great upcoming guest that's a high-profile guest who's got a fantastic best-selling book, New York Times bestseller. We'll also include that in the prize package. And
really looking forward to that show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's going to be fun. And we have a free consult with one of us included in the prize package for someone who wants it.
Probably Rod, since he's the expert.
Well, I don't know. It'll depend. You know,
no, we all have our areas.
If you need visibility, then you might just ask to have that free consult with Rod. It'll be a 1-hour Skype or phone call, and we'll talk to you about your business. And no strings attached. This is just our gift to you.
Yep, whatever you need.
All of us sell our time as experts, and so this is a valuable giveaway that we're able to include. The drawing will be June 1st. We're going to stream it live on our Twitter account, GTD Show, so you can find out if you won. And, of course, we'll message you later. We'll email you if you are lucky winner. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, I've enjoyed the show today, guys, and looking forward to hearing from you, our listener, with questions, feedback. If you want to pitch your idea and see if Rod would take it as a journalist, then do that. And we will look forward to having you back with us on the next edition of the Grow the Dream Show. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Grow the Dream Show. We invite you to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Get connected to our growing community, add your comments, ask questions, and listen to the archives on the web at growthedream.com/show.